Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, which if hour two is anything like hour one, oh my goodness, hold on to your hats.
Well, I mean, we get to start hour two with fireworks because of what's just going on in the ALCS.
It's so damn hot.
Boston and Houston now tied at three apiece at TJ Jose Altuve with the buzzer beater to tie this game for the Astros. And that ball is back, gone. Jose Altuve, patent pending that phrase, by the way.
That was good,
Altuve
buddy.
With
that
the buzzer
good.
Beater. Altuve with the buzzer beater. That's me. That's all me. Altuve goes deep, two-run homer. It was a two-out runner at first situation. Right now, Giants fans are going, that could have happened to us last night. That could have been Wilmer Flores. That could have happened. It could have happened. But Altuve ties the game. So Red Sox and Astros now 3-3 as the Astros continue to bat here in the bottom of the sixth inning.
Note to Giants fans, and I'm sure you said it exactly this way last night. You had nine innings. You suck. Go home. That's it. What else can I say? You had five games. You had a lead. You had them on the ropes. You pitched well. You didn't score. Shut up. You blew it. Tyshirt's favorite drop.
Listen, and we talked about this last night at the end, and clearly
exactly.
Today, all day today has been, the aftermath of the Wilmer Flores and the check swing, and I was even in a pizzeria today here in LA, and the guy, the owner, was putting up it's a New York style pizzeria. Right, because it's the best pizza in the world, and he's got a lot of Brooklyn Dodger stuff in there. Right, I love the pizzeria. It's called LaRocco's, and it's in it's on the West Side. There's two locations, and it's decorated with baseball cards of Mets and Yankees players from the 70s.
Oh, cool!
So it's all, I get to walk in and go, look, there's Mike Vail and John Stearns and
is
Felix
there a John
Leon.
Matlack?
Oh, there's a John Matlack. There's George Stone. There's George Stone, which is my very first baseball card, the Met card I ever got. Like my first Met
awesome.
Was George Stone. I was like, oh my god! Like they have all baseball cards. From the 70s in there,
great.
And that's part of the decoration. So he's putting up a big mural of Dodger Stadium because he's got Yankee Stadium. I go, hey, where's Citi Field? And he looks at me, goes, oh, we're out of room. So what are you talking about? You're out of room. He goes, no, I'm kidding. I go, I'm out of money. I'm never buying pizza here again. He goes, all right, wait. So he was a really nice guy. But
look,
listen, anywhere you wanted to go, people are talking about the Wilmer Flores check swing. And let's just be honest for a second when you sit back. Was that a horrible call? Oh, yeah. Was the strikeout before a bad call? Oh, yeah. But realize that let's just say Wilmer Flores holds up at that point. It's 1-2. With a runner at first and two outs in the ninth inning. You know what the likelihood of the Giants tying the game is at that point? It is incredibly low. It's not like it was a 3-2 count with the bases loaded, and if he holds up, the tying run gets forced in on a walk. No, it was, the count goes to 1-2. So you can be upset and overly blame that play for why you lost, and I'm sure that's as it's going on, that's what you're going to see Giants fan doing. Oh, because the next pitch, Wilmer would have hit a home run, right? Yeah, come on. I mean, stop. He's hit the limit for great big walk-off homers in his career already, right? He wasn't going to do it again. Scherzer was pitching too well last night. It should have been out of the inning already, but Justin Turner biffs a grounder that he should have made a play on. Yes, the check swing was a bad call because clearly he held up, and that was a really rough call. The first base umpire is Wikipedia. Page has been changed to legally blind, which was pretty interesting.
There you go.
But as bad a call as that was, the Giants were still going to lose that game. The Dodgers were still going. The likelihood of the Giants winning was so small. And even Gabe Kapler said after the game, listen, you don't know how that at-bat's going to go. And it's baseball where the best hitters fail two-thirds of the time. Wilmer Flores is not one of the best hitters in the game, right? The guy's a 230 hitter. So he fails 8 out of 10 times. Was he going to get – and even if he does get a hit, does that bring the run in? Or is there another batter to go where Scherzer can get out of the inning? So to put too much importance on on that is really where I think Giants fans want to go. And now we are going to get a big change, I'm sure, in the rules in Major League Baseball. We'll get a big change because that clearly was a bad mistake, and you're going to wind up seeing them be able to review next year, kind of like the NBA when they do their, you know, the final 2 minute reviews. They're not going to let you review check swings in the first six innings, but maybe seventh, eighth, or ninth innings, if there's runners on base, they'll let you review check swings, because that's kind of where we have to get to next year, because we can review a lot of other things. Here's something that was the final out of a series that is controversy on a phenomenal series. We should be talking about the Giants and the Dodgers. Instead, we're talking about umpiring being terrible. So I'm sure that's going to get remedied for next year. But the overall impact of it, it was a worse optic than it was outcome of the game last night.
Well, when you get down to it, and I know Vin Scully had his run of tweets, and you and Frostberg and I were going back and forth on that early on Thursday, and one of the last things he said was, I hope there's no single person entity who becomes the scapegoat. It's like, hi. Enter the goat here. But, you know, you make it reviewable. This isn't like an out-of-bounds play. All right, it was off his hand. Good. It's a three-point shot. Was his foot behind the line? Okay, good. This is still going to have some degree of difficulty to it in terms of trying to apply, no matter what computer programs you're writing, to determine where in the swing it stops, right? All right, did he break his wrist here? Did he go far enough, you know, based on this angle? Like, again, it's going to be an imperfect thing. Folks want to get on board? Fine. It's just another one of the, all right, let's eliminate all human error from the game. I guess if you have the technology, sure. This one's a little harder. This one isn't as easy. Now, in this particular case, because it was so egregiously bad, I don't think there's anybody that's arguing that he went on this particular call. But how many times over the course of a regular season do you have the, I don't really know that he went or not, and you're waiting for the other angle, and even then it's like, inconclusive. And then we start getting back into NFL officiating, and even with all of the reviews and opportunities, how much they still botch things on a given week. So, I look, everybody's welcome to debate it. Fans in San Francisco are welcome to cry about it. Great season. I argued vehemently.
Vehemently.
Yeah, well, that's the way you pronounce it. I pronounce it vehemently.
Vehemently.
Yeah, vehemently. Yeah, I pronounce it my way. The fact that they were playing with house money. No, house money is you sneak in as a wild card team. Right, you don't play particularly well, but the world lines up and gives you a shot. Playing with house money isn't winning 107 regular season games.
No,
where everything went right, and now you have to make the most of it. So there's belly aching over that. But in terms of this, you had 27 outs. You didn't make the most of them. Beat it.
No, the Braves are playing with house money. Hey, no one cares. We want a really crap.
Well, Acuna got hurt.
We're playing with house money. It's us playing with house money. So that's really the way to understand and to break down what happened with Wilmer Flores last night. And, you know, and I did tell the guy who was putting up the poster, I said, you know what you got to do is you got to get a big blow up, a big picture of the Wilmer check swing. He goes, oh, that's a great idea. We have room for that. I go, you don't have room for Citi Field? We got room for that now suddenly? Oh,
no, that's better.
Yeah. I was just trying to get a free piece of pizza. I didn't know.
I know, buddy.
Now, we'll have more baseball. Again, Red Sox and Astros tied at 3-3 after the Jose Altuve buzzer beater. See, I'm going to say it and just make it happen. But last hour on the show, we were joined by Jay Glazer, and we talked about the latest going on with the NFL email situation. We found out, obviously, John Gruden, what he said to Bruce Allen, former GM of the Washington Redskins, back when they were the Redskins, comments he made that got him let go. A lawyer, Jeff Pasch, for the NFL, had inflammatory statements as well. And when we welcomed Jay in to talk about where things were at, he jumped right out of the gate and told us about situations he had with both John Gruden and Bruce Allen. Here's a bit of what he told us right out of the gate about John Gruden.
I know one guy who won't be implicated is yours truly over here.
Okay. You checked? You didn't email Bruce Allen over that 7-year span?
Well, Bruce, I did. I actually, both Bruce and Gruden and I have the same relationship. I threatened to beat both their asses at one point. Go. I'm dead serious.
No way.
Gruden at the Senior Bowl. Told him I thought he was a fake tough guy. And then man, I forget what he said, but I was sitting with Sean Payton, and he came over and he said something. He was just being rude, and I did. I do think he's a very tough guy. And this is not me piling on, John. It's what I've always felt. And then he said something else, and then I got up and told him he's a fake tough guy and kind of said it real loud, and then Sean wanted nothing to do with it. And so that's kind of been me and Gruden for a long time. And then Bruce Allen.
All right, so stop right there. So there, he did go on to say he did talk to Gruden a couple of times after they talked about that moment. But, wow, can you imagine? I mean, I don't know if this was before Jay was training at Unbreakable, but I would so take Jay in a fight with John Gruden. I would so take Jay.
Unbreakable was just a twinkle in his eye. That's a fairly recent invention. I mean, it's fantastic works that he's doing, ex-players, ex-military, and all the good work at the gym. You can check that out at Jay Glazer on Twitter for all the latest on that and Unbreakable Gym and Performance Center. But the idea that, you know, yeah, you're a lousy blank and softball player too. Let's go. I mean, it's kind of where that's headed. Jay's always, I mean, look, he's about as tall as I am, right? So what, about a 5'8"? Wouldn't you say about 5'8", 5'9"? And he's a fire plug. I mean, he's a powerhouse, right? I mean, I wouldn't mess with him if I was John Gruden. Even before Unbreakable would have existed. I said in part of the interview, right? You might not have been a great fighter, but you still strapped him on, which is more than most.
I mean, that really was some kind. And you'll hear the Bruce Allen story, too, coming up in a few minutes, because that's even, I mean, Jay spent a lot more time talking about that. But just think about that Gruden part. Just, yeah, you know, I think, oh, wait, well, what's happening now? And like, he's got to take off his headset. He's got to put his playbook down. He's got to put his call sheet down, you know, to get up to get ready to fight. Like when you're in school and two people want to fight, and the one guy goes, all right, hang on, we're going to fight. Hang on. And really what he wants to do is wait for someone to come break it up.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to take off my ear. Because I know you're going to try to pull it out. I'm going to take off my ring really slow. I'm going to take off my jacket. No one's coming, huh? Really? No one's going to break this up? Okay, I guess we're really going to fight.
Was that your tactic back in the day?
No, dude, the last fight I got in, I was in third grade. He was in second grade, and it was a tie. He was a tough kid. Kenny Clark, he was a tough kid. I've been in two fights in my life. I won one, and I tied one. That fight was kind of a tie.
Yeah. There you go.
No,
I can honestly say I've never really been in a fight. Skirmishes, little scuffle where, you know, it's in the middle of a football field or something, sure. But my brothers and I beating the hell out of each other and using real wrestling moves as though they were real. There's a chair. Oh, wait, that's not fake.
Oh, no, dude, my fight's real. Like, the fight I got in where I tied the kid in second grade, I was actually standing up for a friend of mine, and he really didn't seem too happy for it afterwards. I was really mad. I'm like, dude, I stood up for you because he was saying stuff and being ridiculous to you. And he, like, didn't really feel like, you know, he had to say thank you or anything else. I was like, wow, what the hell, man? But the other fight I got, it was actually during a football game. We're playing tackle football. And the kid hit me from behind on the play before. And I was really mad. I said, okay, I'm going to fix this guy. So he comes down on the kickoff, and he's running right at me. And I'm like, okay, this guy. And I'm standing like I'm going to hit him. And I'm standing there, and I wait the last second. He, like, dives at me, and I just get out of the way. And he dives, and he falls. Everybody is laughing. And he gets up like a house of fire. But I was like, no, now it's my turn. So then I got on top. Before he could get up, I got on top of him, and I won that fight. I mean, it was a little bit longer, but I won. That fight I won. I won that fight.
That sounds vaguely like the video I sent you before of the greatest pancake block ever. Defender gets his guy to the ground and then does a giant splash over the top.
And leaps on top of him? Yeah.
Matt, my daughter texted me. She goes, is that legal? I'm like, no, really.
No, but just to see him running down and like he leaps at me and I just move out of the way. And everybody saw it because they knew something was going to happen. Because they knew he hit me like that. They knew I was mad. And he was mad for some reason. I don't know why he was so mad at me. You know, but I get along with everybody. And he comes running down. I stand there like, I'm just going to hit him really hard. And I just move out of the way. And he falls. He was so mad. Because he was so embarrassed, too, at the time. And I remember
looking
up. You told
him on the play before you were going to take him down. And then you did.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you said, I told you so.
And in fact, there were other people playing a different game that stopped to watch the fight.
No, that's good.
That's what happened. Yeah, they stopped to watch the fight.
That got good.
Yeah.
You think anybody was laying odds?
Yeah. No, no, nobody was laying odds. I think there was more people that thought they wanted a little bit more action. But, you know, listen, when you're fighting, when you're in third grade and a kid's in, and you know, I think, no, at that point I might have been in fourth grade. I think he was in
against
fourth
grade. Against a second grader?
No, 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 no. I was in third grade against a second grader, but he was a tough kid. He was just as big as I was. And the next fight, I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade for, and that was my last fight. Like I walked out, I threw the gloves down and waved to everybody like Rocky at the end when I'm walking off after he fights Sean Tarver and he wins. He was waving. I don't even need to wait for the decision. I'm just walking off waving. Good night, everybody. All right, I did it. I won. That was my last fight, and I never went back in. Now all the money that people offered, Floyd Mayweather wanted to fight me to make more money. Nope. None of that happened. I stayed out of the game. I was true to myself.
Can we get you to fight one of the Paul brothers?
Ooh, what's the money like? I can take a punch.
That sounded like straight out of Reservoir Dogs. What's the cut like, Papa?
Yeah,
juicy, Junior. Juicy.
I could take a punch for a little bit, I think. I don't know how many, but I think I can take a little bit. I might be able to do something there. A little bit.
Tie shirt laying odds. What's the over under on rounds?
I'd say half a punch, he's out.
Wow.
Oh, no, no. Well, the thing is that if I have a really, if I'm kind of shifty on my first move and that person's a little bit too aggressive, I can come right down and make a big move. Like, I could do that. Now, after that, then it's not going to be good. Then it's not, but
did you say you're shifty?
I said shifty,
that's,
yes.
That's what I said. I was going to highlight that. Good work, Tyshirt.
Thanks, man.
Great minds think alike, right?
If I'm shifty, like, if I like get you like, yeah, come on, man, and then I move you like one of those wrestlers, like the wrestler gets out of the way and then an elbow to the head or something like that,
you'd be thumbing
I might
the
be
guy
able to pull
the
that
eye
out.
In the whole nine yards.
Oh, no, no, no. Come on. I don't want to hurt anybody that bad. It would just be to win the fight. I mean, then that would be it. That's how I do
it. Yeah. But if it helped you win the fight, I mean, come on.
No, no, no. I don't want to. Not happening.
I'm speaking it into existence.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Right now, bottom of the seventh inning, Boston and the Astros tied at 3 apiece. Sorry, buddy, I was helping you out there, but I was saying White Sox.
Well, it's like you were taunting me.
Jose Altuve's two-run jack, a buzzer beater for the Astros. I'm going to make it happen. Has the game tied at 3 as the Astros bat here in the bottom of the seventh inning. But when we take a look at the big slate in college football tomorrow, suddenly everything is possible. Alabama has lost. We have a new team at number 1 in Georgia. Can they stay there? They have a tough game coming up tomorrow. Pretty much everything you need to know about why the playoff expanded in college football works is on display now, because Alabama lost teams think, why not us, right? That Alabama and Georgia don't automatically have the top two spots in the playoff locked in, or two of the four spots locked in, because they're going to both go undefeated, play each other, the loser is still going to go. No, you have like the entire Big Ten and Cincinnati and Oregon and Oklahoma State and Wake Forest and Arizona State all think, hey, why not us? And this has given a huge juice to the college football season. Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down, he is the editor-in-chief, grand poobah, proprietor of collegefootballnews.com, your one-stop shopping for college football news. It is Pete Futak. Pete, what's happening, man?
And Michigan has a shot. And Syracuse, Michigan State has a shot. And yeah, it gives us a whole lot for the football season to have all these teams in. And look, we know what happens, though. If it is Georgia three teams, it's going to be the Georgia Invitational. But it's neither here nor there. It could be really fun if Alabama loses again and if Ohio State loses again. Then we're going to have a college football playoff with none of the college football playoff national champions in it. And even if it is Oklahoma, Oregon, Georgia, and random team X, it's going to still feel a little fresh.
So do you think that looking forward, like this should be an eye-opener saying, hey, you know what? We expand the playoff a little bit because not every year is going to be like this. Look how much better it is for college football overall.
The problem with that is the fairness thing, because you're still talking about this college football playoff thing being based on a panel of judges.
And it stinks if you're Cincinnati, where, look, you don't play anybody, so you don't really deserve to be in. But if you win your American Athletic Conference, you're going to want to be in the college football playoff, and an expanded thing would do that. And it still gives some interest to, say, the ACC for this year, where – you know, you'd want the ACC champion to be in it, assuming Wake Forest and Boston College both lose a couple times along the way. So you do want an expansion just because it would add more excitement to everybody. But as is, this year is kind of fun.
And as is, we have a little bit of chaos. What do I do if I want to bet, say, Oklahoma TCU, and I don't know if it's Caleb Williams or Spencer Rattler?
Start with this.
13.5.
Well, Oklahoma has yet to play a game yet this year against an FBS team where it has not won by more than a touchdown. So start with that. No matter who it's been, you know, every game has been kind of close. So it is kind of tough. It is going to be Caleb Williams at the end of the day. They're just not going to start Spencer Rattler in this. But at least they can't, at least after the way Caleb Williams played last week. But again, they play every game close. They have not played a full 60 minutes against anybody but Western Carolina, and that doesn't really count. So I kind of think TCU being TCU keeps this kind of close, even with this iffy quarterback situation.
All right, Pete, you know, we mentioned Georgia, and here they are playing their first game, number one team in the country. Not perfect, but clearly they deserve to be the number one team. This is the marquee game tomorrow. Kentucky's undefeated coming in. Kentucky's offense isn't great. It's a ground and pound. Could we see a new number one team after this week?
We're still way overdue for the Stetson Bennett 12 interception game, where he's good. He's played fine so far. His defense can pick up the slack, and you know, he's more mature of a passer now, and he doesn't have to force anything. But Georgia doesn't have any receivers. They're basically all hurt. And Stetson Bennett isn't JT Daniels. So once JT Daniels is back and healthy, yeah, this team is the real deal. But the real thing about this game is how close does Kentucky keep it? If it gets annihilated 45-0, it's going to be hard to make this argument. But if you look at the rest of the Kentucky schedule, this is the middle of the sandwich. It was supposed to be tough. September was supposed to be easy. November is supposed to be easy. It's the middle that's the hard part. And they already got by Florida. They got this game where they're probably going to get tagged. But if you look at the rest of the slate, if they can just be okay against Mississippi State and get by that, they could be 11-1. And at the end of the day, if you're saying it's an argument that didn't work for Texas A&M last year, but if you have an 11-1 Kentucky and their one loss is to the be-all, end-all number one team, how do you not say that, okay, maybe it comes in the college football playoff?
Pete Futek, our guest here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Pete, of course, the all-everything, collegefootballnews.com, at Pete Futek, that's F-I-U-T-A-K, the surname, for all your college football breakdowns, write-ups, prognostication. And in a game in the Big Ten, I got to take it there, right back towards my stomping grounds, we've got the Iowa Hawkeyes and Purdue Boilermakers, two great defenses. Will this just be settled with thumb wrestling at the end of the day, or is it whoever can score more points on defense?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the weird thing. We're all used to Purdue being the high-octane team, Jeff Brom's squad being able to throw it all over the place. But this offense is not great. Their defense is really good. And Iowa doesn't have any offense. This is the number two team in the country, and it's got the worst offense in total yards in the Big Ten. There's something just doesn't quite add up with this team. If it's not the defense that's taking a ball away five times a game, there's a problem. I do think this stays a little close. I do think Purdue is able to stay in this. And you know, I just don't buy Iowa. It's not the second-best team in America. Again, it doesn't have the offense, but that defense is playing at a whole other level. And this is going to be fun. Look, Iowa still has some tests left. They still have to go to Wisconsin. They have to deal with that defense. And then let's say they get through it all, they probably get Ohio State or Michigan State. That's going to be tough. So there's still some tests for this team, but that defense has been the real deal so far.
All right, Pete. Now, I'm glad Mike brought us to the Big Ten, because the entire top 10 in college football are all Big Ten teams.
Yeah, that's right.
Is the Big Ten really this good? Are they really this good?
No, not even close. Look, it's nobody likes this debate. Look, I've lived most of my life on a Big Ten or near a Big Ten campus. I went to a Big Ten school. I live a drive or 3 minutes away from a Big Ten campus. The SEC's better. It just is, and I can't believe I have to argue this every single year. But there's a reason why they say that 40% of the NFL draft is made up of the SEC and Big Ten as well. But there's a reason why they're winning the recruiting battles every year. They just have more talent, more guys. It just means more, all that kind of stuff. Florida's still really good. Alabama's still really good. And it's kind of the anti-Cincinnati argument where look at what you've got. I mean, Texas A&M was able to rise up and win. You know, Mississippi State's pretty good. Ole Miss is dangerous. Arkansas is dangerous. The SEC just overall is just that much better. Now, with that said, you know, Iowa's playing all right. It's playing well enough. Michigan State's playing great. We'll see what it does this week against Indiana. I think it rolls in that. Michigan, hey, I know all Michigan fans, all you are waiting for the piano to fall on your head, but this team actually is playing okay, and Ohio State's starting to rise up. So, at the very least, it's the second-best conference, but the SEC is just amazing from Georgia on through just because there's so much talent in that league.
Well, back to individual games. Tonight we saw the Herculean efforts of the Clemson Tigers as they withstood a ferocious Syracuse Orange squad. Jason's not happy.
Garrett Tebow there throwing it at the end there, trying to get the position for that kick. Oh.
Yeah. You know, and we miss the kick because the holder doesn't put the laces out. I mean, Andre Schmidt's one of the best kickers in the country, and we get Finkel and Einhorn is why Syracuse doesn't send that game.
Really
to
wasn't
overtime.
Making it about you.
Kick the ball straight already, son. You're on scholarship. Anyway,
yeah, Clemson side of things is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, that's Clemson. You know, that's what we're going to get this year. This offense, the defense is amazing. They gave up the one big giant play. But that offense just, for whatever reason, is not working. They can't run the ball a lick. And you've got an NFL-caliber quarterback in DJ Uiagalelei, and he's just not able to make anything happen. The offensive line hasn't been good enough. But also give some credit, because Syracuse is doing good. This isn't like a couple years ago when they did pull off the Friday night win, when they just kind of pulled it out of their hat to get that thing. Syracuse team's actually all right. The defense is playing great. Sean Tucker is fantastic. And if Jared Trader doesn't have to throw, everything's okay with this offense. And they were right there, you know, but this is going to be Clemson football. And at the end of the day, they're probably still going to win another ACC championship because they're going to win every game 3-2. So this is just what we got for the Tigers this year.
He's on Twitter at Pete Futek. That is at Pete Futek. CollegeFootballNews.com, your one-stop shopping for everything. College football previews of every single game, and the writer is the guy we're talking to right now. All the previews, all the games, it is Pete Futek. Pete, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You have a good night, guys.
Hey, Tyshirt, Pete's music is Poison. What are you playing? What is
Isn't this Poison?
No.
It says Poison.
Oh, yeah, this is like new Poison. Like, no one knows these songs.
Huh.
You got to go back and, like, Talk Dirty to Me or I Want Action, I Won't Forget You. You play the Bret Michaels heave and exhale in and inhale in and exhale out all the time. You got to give – he's like, okay, I guess they screwed my song up tonight.
I think he liked it.
No, I don't think he knew.
I didn't think he knew.
No, I don't think he did.
I think you're assuming.
People know,
he's actually texting me right now, saying, I'm never coming on again.
All right, that's my bad.
That was your bad, man.
Complete disrespect.
Where's my Poison? Where's my Look What the Cat Dragged In? Where's my 1986 Poison song?
Could have been
where's
worse?
Something right. to believe in? Where's Poison? Yeah, you got to have Poison in people. You can't just go and say, oh, hey, the first thing on Spotify was their new song they put out digitally in 2019 that didn't go anywhere. You got to dig a little bit deeper, Tyshirt.
I dug up something you didn't know.
Did you just say dugged up?
I dug up.
I like that. You dug up.
I dugged it up
dug
for you.
Dome.
I dugged it up.
I done did it.
I done dugged it up for you.
It's a great
That's
song.
Fantastic. No, I'm going to write a song called I Done Dugged It Up.
Please do.
I dugged it up.
It's going to be about a tabloid journalist. They already made Nightcrawler. Just go watch the Gyllenhaal.
Oh, you really said dugged.
I done dugged it up.
I dugged it up. The only way you can dug something, you dug something up, is if someone named Doug is going in third person going, man, I dug that up for you. Yeah, and that's the only way you can do it.
Jimmy agrees.
Jimmy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Houston leads Boston 4-3, bottom of the eighth inning. The entire world wants Dodgers Astros. Maybe by throwing it out there, it's what we're going to get. Correa, Altuve, getting it done. Everybody you like to hate, all making sure it happens. We'll keep you updated
chaos,
on this
baby.
Game. Throughout the night
anger.
Tonight. There is, but sometimes, you know, anger makes the world. If you got a team that people absolutely hate against a team that was rooked out of the World Series like the Dodgers were, hey, you know what? You're going to get some fun stuff, man. But if you get Braves Astros, wow. Is Syracuse playing? They're playing Pitt on Friday night. I'm going to watch that instead, right? Yeah, it's going to go watch that.
Just remember, as we watch this and everybody starts oohing and aahing, everybody is in quotes, because let's face it, Correa and Altuve and the principals that have been there through this whole run, you've already been busted once. Anything you do, no matter how great it is in the moment, is always going to be, there's casting aspersions on it. Mm-hmm. Right? Why are you so sure. dialed in? Why were you looking in there? Like, it's any relationship, personal or in your professional life. If someone has shown you a track record of how they operate, they're not getting the benefit of the doubt next time, even if they're 100% on the up and up. That's just the way it is, right? If you have stuff in the fridge and you suspect your kid is, you know, going in and helping themselves, you know, the extra cookie out of the cookie jar or you know, whatever it is, an ice cream pop, you know, ice cream bar or whatever down in the freezer, and you've caught them. If they start disappearing in rapid succession later on, you can't blame the dog. You're probably still looking at your kid. So for the Astros here, no matter what they do, everybody's still looking at them with the side eye. And if you start looking at, like, you know, it's my time as you hit a home run, yeah, the ball's coming high and tight at some point in short order.
Time now for Mike and I to give you our upset special picks of the week. We go big game hunting in college football. Got to be a top 25 game in college and the National Football League. I'll kick things off. You started last week. I was 2-2 upset specials last week. 10-6 on the season. If it was a football season over, I'd feel pretty good. But considering I started 5-1, I got to get past the 500-ish here.
The doldrums. You know, it's the dog
That's
days
right.
of August.
Yeah, the dog days of October. October, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I am going to say the number one team in the country, Georgia, take Kentucky and the 22 points. It's a lot Ooh. Of points. Kentucky runs the football well. They got a really good offensive line. It's different when you are playing as the number one team in the country. Yes, Georgia's going to be insane at home with the first time being number one. It's emotional. A letdown is kind of on the horizon. Now, Georgia's going to win this game, but Kentucky's pretty good. And 22 is a lot. I know it's on the road, and I'm thinking as long as Kentucky can withstand early on, they can control the football, control the clock a little bit, and run it a bit. Georgia's going to win, and they'll stay number one, but it's closer than expected. Give me Kentucky with 22.
Ooh, I dig that. All right, from mine, we talked about it a little bit with Pete Futek. I just don't think there's enough scoring for Iowa to be given 11.5 points in this game. Two of the best defenses in the land. You're looking at Iowa giving up 13 points per game. Purdue just giving up 15.4. They've played Notre Dame, Oregon State. They've played some pretty potent offensive squads and done just fine. So give me the Boilers plus 11.5.
All right, going to the NFL now. This is a game that I really like this one. Like this one, I see it coming because the line looks weird, right? Dallas has been playing great, scoring a lot of points. New England has not. They've not scored a lot of points. It's only 4 points. Give me the Patriots. Dallas's defense has been thriving on turnovers, right? That's what they've been doing to get to where they are right now. Offense has been great. Defense has been thriving on turnovers. What do the New England Patriots not do? Turn the ball over. Dallas's defense is awful against the pass, right? I think they're ranked last in a lot of categories against the pass. The Patriots are going to hit some big plays. Mac Jones is going to have 3 touchdowns. New England's going to slow Dak Prescott just enough, and it's going to be a shocker, and we won't be able to turn the page on the Patriots right away. So give me New England +4 over Dallas. They will move the ball much more than people think.
Nicely done. I'm going to take Carolina at home, getting 2.5. The current line initially started Carolina -1. No McCaffrey. Once again, Chuba Hubbard has been just fine. Defense not quite as stout these last couple weeks, and Sam will let you down on occasion. Captain Kirk's been playing well. Cook should be back alongside our guy Alexander Mattison, but still they haven't been able to finish drives. This is one where I'm fading Captain Kirk. Give me Sam Darnold to muddy it up and get another rushing touchdown on the ledger.
There it is, our upset special picks of the week. Here's a hint. We actually have more coming your way next hour. Oh, yeah, there's lots of upsets there's our first picks for you right there. Coming up next, we get back into the biggest story of the night in the National Football League. This is Fox.